Well, there you have it. It's the Thursday afternoon show with your regular hosts, the great Ellen Thurston.
And the great Thomas D. Pietro.
Thank you, thank you. And the not so great, I'm sorry, the young and impressionable Jake the Intern Ebel. Jake the Intern slash Engineer Ebel. He has risen to engineering status. That means he pushes buttons. But we want to get right into the show today because we have a special guest.
We're here with Sean Francis.
That's who's his name.
Going to be this afternoon at Mexican Radio. We'll tell you about that a little later. And he's mm-hmm. running for state senator in the 43rd district, which comprise. It's a huge district,
Very
as I
huge.
Understand it.
Yes.
We want to hear more about you and what prompted you to suddenly do this, and
well, how
more
about
your background.
How about you sure. define the boundaries of the district to begin,
That's
so we know what you're running
for.
Thank you, Ellen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh,
first
you're welcome.
And foremost.
Yeah, we'll have your challenger, too, if she wants to come on, but anyway.
but the 43rd Senate District is currently represented by Kathy Marchione. The district comprises all or parts of Saratoga County, Washington
wow.
County, Rensselaer County, and all of Columbia County.
And no Dutchess?
No Dutchess.
Okay. So no. it's four counties?
Four counties. Washington, just a couple, two little townships in Washington, about half to a third of Saratoga County. Almost all of Rensselaer County, except for the city of Troy and the city of Rensselaer, and then the entirety of Columbia County.
Now, you're going to run as a Democrat,
yeah,
presumably.
I am.
You are a Democrat.
I am.
What are the statistics on registered voters from both parties in those in that area, in that in the 43rd?
Well, it's a very good question because it's something
Thank
I've
been, you. See, Ellen?
It's something that I've been talking about a lot, which is this district has been held almost exclusively, if not exclusively, by Republicans. It was Senate Majority Leader Joan Bruno's seat, then it was Roy McDonald's seat, then it was Kathy Marchione's seat. And people, because of that, think, well, this is a bright red Republican district. Democrats have no chance. The fact of the matter is, actually, when they redrew the district last time a few years back, it became more of a swing district than it was before with the inclusion of Columbia County. And then additionally to that, since they redrew it, every single time they've the Board of Elections has updated the registration numbers, the gap between Republicans and Democrats has closed. So the gap between Republicans and Democrats in terms of registered voters right now is less than 5% of the overall registration when you include independents and Greens and working families, et cetera, et cetera. So it's definitely by definition a swing district. And additionally to that, while at the state Senate level and below, it's typically gone Republican, at the top of the ticket, Democrats have won it almost exclusively. President Obama carried it twice. Secretary Clinton, when she was running last time for U.S. Senate, carried the district by over 60% of the vote. And even in 2014, a Republican wave year, Tom DiNapoli won this district with 53% of the vote. So voters in the district will vote for Democrats if you give them a reason to vote. And so for me, what I decided to do when I was going to run for the seat is to make sure that I got out early, mm-hmm. Do everything I can to raise the money that I need to compete. I am far behind on that, but mm-hmm. In terms of how much money she has, of course, she's got the ultra-wealthy donors, and we can get into more of that because that's something that's a big issue to me. But this is a competitive seat, and we tend to compete well in it.
Right. And you, all your petitions are in, all that kind of stuff?
That doesn't start yet. That won't start until the summertime.
So you're not definitely going to be the only candidate?
Well, I guess technically speaking, anybody
could
run.
Right.
Somebody tomorrow could, you know, I'm going to run
right.
as a Democrat as well, and then
right.
there would be a primary. But as I've been out there really campaigning for the seat for a year already,
mm-hmm.
Starting last winter, getting the county chairs and the town chairs and everybody on board with my candidacy, already going around to the district, talking to voters. I've already been up on TV last summer. We did a 1 week run on cable television to introduce myself to some voters on cable TV. So I've been doing a lot to run already. So technically, could another Democrat choose to run? Sure. But I don't see that happening.
So is this your launch in Columbia County today?
So this is my formal official campaign launch. Again,
right
I've been
here, right now on the radio? We're breaking news?
It's a full day of campaign launch today.
Okay,
this morning we started in Saratoga Springs.
Where you're from.
Where I'm from.
Okay.
Yep.
Where you live.
I actually live in the town of Wilton, technically, just barely outside of the city of Saratoga mm-hmm. Springs. Actually, Saratoga Springs mailing address. But so we did a launch there this morning. It was a huge turnout, great crowd. And then this afternoon we did a TV interview, and now we're here talking about the race here. And then tonight, we're going to do it all over again at Mexican Radio at 6 o'clock. We invite anybody to come out and hear me speak and lay out my campaign and my vision for what we can do in the state Senate and how we can move New York State forward.
If this is the first time you've run for office, what have you been doing up till now?
So my background is dual background, professional baseball and labor union organizer.
I liked that. You were an umpire for 10 years.
So baseball was my passion in life as a young boy, something my father passed down to me. It taught me a lot of great things, life lessons, and I wanted to pursue, I wanted to stay in baseball. And actually, my college degree in photography was my thought that if I wasn't going to play in the big leagues, maybe I could be a photojournalist. But then after college, I went to umpire school, professional baseball umpire school.
Where was that?
Wow, there's a school.
Yeah, there is a professional baseball umpire school. Absolutely. It's in Florida. There's two schools you can choose from, official professional schools you can choose from.
Do they compete? I mean, do they have like...
Yeah, they both send candidates to the minor leagues. So you go to the school, and I was in the minor leagues for 12 years, and I worked my way through rookie ball, A ball, Double A, and I finished up as a Triple A crew chief. I fell a bit short of the big leagues, but I had a great long career. During that time, I became president of the union that represents the umpires, so I became president of our union, and that led me to working in the labor movement writ large. And after my time on the field was over, I transitioned, and what I do now as a full-time job is I'm a labor union organizer.
For what union? For the same union?
For Office and Professional Employees International Union, which
that's
is
the parent union.
Of the minor leagues. When I was the president of the minor league umpires union, I affiliated us with OPEEIU. And so now I work for them. I travel the country. I organize, help people organize workplace unions, and that's what I do for a living. And last year got married. My wife and I are settling down. I don't have any kids yet. And so this was the time in my life where I said, you know.
Takes 9 kids to make a team.
That's right.
Got a lot of hydrogen, yeah.
I'm just going to leave that.
But it seems to me being an umpire is a good path to being a politician. You have to be fair to everybody.
Well, exactly.
You can't take sides.
Mm-hmm. You have to take a lot of abuse.
To preview for those who are going to come over to Mexican Radio tonight, but I asked people in my speech this morning, and I'll get it tonight, I hope you haven't felt what it feels like to have a stadium full of fans boo you all at once.
I know that feeling. Ellen does. Yeah. Everybody loves Ellen. Yeah.
But I have, and that's because, you know, as an umpire, your job is to make tough calls when the game is on the line, regardless of what team's winning or losing. You're not there to pick sides or choose sides. You're there to protect the integrity of the game and make tough decisions when the game's on the line. And I think that's the perspective. Well, I don't think that will be the perspective that I'm going to take to Albany and say, you know, it's not about Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals. It's about what is right for the state of New York.
Are you going to wear a chest protector?
This campaign gets later on in the cycle, I might need the protection.
And the blue outfit or whatever. Do they dress the same as the
police? We wear black and gray now.
Oh, you're black and gray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So were you ever attacked by a ball player?
Not a ball player. I've never been attacked per se. I've had some pretty angry coaches, angry managers.
Strong language.
You know, language? Language is not... you spend any time on a professional baseball field, you'll hear words that you never knew existed in the English language, trust me.
Well, both experiences, of course, give you great background in negotiations and in dealing with difficult people. Mm-hmm. I think the union job is probably even more relevant to your future as a politician.
Well, you know, again, the baseball stuff is going to, it's the judgment, it's making tough calls, not picking winners and losers. The union organizing and union representatives experience for me, well, when I've negotiated collective bargaining agreements, it's about, you know, my job there is to represent my members and try to get the best wages, benefits, working conditions I can. But you can't go into that saying, we're just going to ask for everything, and if you don't give it to us, we're going on strike every single time. Because that doesn't work. You have to understand where management is coming from. You have to understand what their view of this is. And while you may not agree, you have to find a resolution. Nobody wants to go on a strike. Nobody, you want to get resolution. You want to have labor peace. Both sides do. And so that's an approach I'm going to take when it comes to a tough issue in the legislature, saying, you know what, I may have my position, I may have my beliefs, but I know where you're coming from on the other side of the aisle, so let's find innovative new solutions. And that's what I do as a union representative.
A bigger question with being involved with unions is we live in a time where union representation is down to, what, like 7% nationally, something?
Yeah, when you combine both public sector and private sector, yeah.
Right.
And
I mean,
the public sector is much larger.
Much larger these days.
For now.
Yeah.
We got some problems on the horizon with the Supreme Court decision. We'll see how that happens with the Friedrich decision that's coming down, and that's... problematic. But I think what you might see, you know, just talking about the labor movement in general is...
Are you talking about the California teachers?
Yes.
Decision?
Yeah. And, you know, I think you might see a... When this happens, or if this happens, you're going to see a swing back. And I think you're going to see the union movement getting back to its core roots, which is we're workers' advocacy. And at some times, and even being a labor union guy, sometimes the labor movement has lost focus of that at times. Well-intentioned, but has lost focus of that. And so I think that'll be the result of that. But that's a Supreme Court decision in California. Yeah. So
so what finally led you into politics then?
Politics has been a passion for me my whole life. I've always been interested in it. When I got more involved with the labor movement, I recognized how much state legislatures and state and federal regulations and laws can affect both workers and corporations, for that matter, that we have to bargain with. So that really sort of focusing on it, I was obviously, like many people, very inspired in 2008 for President Obama's election. And so a combination of all of that, and again, like I said before, it's a right time in my life. But more than anything, when I got done with baseball and I got married last year and I'm settling down with my wife and I look at who is my representative in the New York State Senate, it is somebody who doesn't represent my values, who is not in touch with people in this district from her extreme conservative. So, and I, you know, I feel like if you think there's something wrong with your government, whether you're representative, there's many ways you can get involved. One of those ways is running for office. And it was something that I was willing to take on and excited to take on.
We should make clear that in light of the fairness principle, you know, Senator Marchione, which is the right way to pronounce it, is invited on here anytime she wants to come on. But she's notoriously reluctant to talk to anybody or to show up at anything. You know that, right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
She has events that are, like, publicized with her picture, and then she doesn't bother to come. It's really kind of amazing. But anyway, you raised values. What? How do you see your values as... I mean, describe your values. You don't have to refer to her so much. But
okay, so, you know, I believe in equality and fairness.
Mm-hmm.
I was very proud of my Republican state senator, Roy McDonald, who was one of five Republicans to break from partisan politics and voted for marriage equality in 2011 and passed it here in the state of New York. And on that basis alone was the reason why Senator Marchione, well, then County Clerk Marchione, primary challenged Roy McDonald for that seat because he voted for marriage equality. That's something that doesn't sit right with me. You know, fairness and equality is something that's very important to me. Another thing that's very important to me is making sure that we have a long-term vision of how we power our economy of tomorrow. And we need to get away from oil, natural gas, and we need to start moving to green energy.